Tonight, Mark describes Tottenham
as utter shit.
Scott talks about something irrelevant and in no way connected to football. And heavy goods vehicles are reviewed as we discuss Marouane Fellaini. Ahoy, ladies and gentlemen. It is Eat My Goal. Do not adjust your sets. This is actually happening. Unfortunately, Scott has been suspended from the show as there was a bit of a fracas the other day and he punched someone and we've had to ban him from the show. He has had to not have his £1 million contract. And where have we sent him off to?
Somewhere in the Midlands.
Yeah.
Not Coventry, though. We haven't sent him to Coventry.
I think there's a meditation place in the Midlands that we've had to send him to. So,
Anger Management Club.
So I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. This show will probably focus around football and probably be the allotted time limit that we normally set out for Eat My Goal. So if you're here for foliage-related japery, unfortunately, that's not going to be happening on this week's show. However, if we're going to start with foliage, we may as well start with Marouane Fellaini's hair, which means we may as well start with Manchester United versus Spurs.
Now, I can't think whether Man United were actually really good or Tottenham made them look really good.
They had one job. And that was to draw the game.
And they failed.
What Spurs failed to do was actually bring any of their defenders along. And also they failed to notice that Marouane Fellaini's good in the air. So what I was annoyed by about this game was the amount of boxing-related puns by the commentators. With the Wayne Rooney. If Wayne Rooney hadn't have scored, they would have just...
It wouldn't have been the knockout blow to Spurs.
It was when Wayne Rooney scored and he did the celebration. They went, oh, that's a very timely celebration. For any of you who don't know about why Wayne Rooney's celebrating like that. And I was thinking, who doesn't know why Wayne Rooney is celebrating like that? Who is in any way interested in this game and doesn't know about that video?
Did you see... Was it Bardsley's wife that came out afterwards and said, oh, he was just pretending to be knocked out? You didn't see him get straight back up after the end of that clip. I was like, really?
Yeah.
If he was pretending, then he nearly cracked open the back of his head on the table.
Yeah. If Wayne Rooney was pretending to be knocked out there, he should be in the next Rocky movie, because that is some of the best selling of a punch I've ever seen. By the way, Phil Bardsley's wife... Have you seen a picture of Phil Bardsley's wife?
No, but I'm about to.
She is definitely with him because of his good looks and intelligence. Jesus.
Here we go. Yep.
That's one of them enough said moments, isn't it, really? Nice. Yeah, so we could focus on the goals of the game, but what we actually want to focus on is Wayne Rooney getting knocked out. Did you think that was one of the funniest things you've ever seen on the internet?
I thought it was brilliant. Made my day.
I've never had emotional feelings towards Phil Bardsley before, but now I love him. In fact, Mark, I'm going to throw it out there. Phil Bardsley, friend of the show.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just throwing it out there. It needs a second vote.
Friends, though. Do you not find that the strangest... friendship, Phil Bardsley and Wayne Rooney, just seems... How the fuck did them two become friends?
Well, anyone and Wayne Rooney, really. What the hell can they possibly talk about? They're not going to talk about politics or art or anything, really. They're probably talking about football and Play-Doh. I don't know what else Wayne Rooney could possibly talk about.
Yeah, Play-Doh, hair, mop-top barbershop.
Who released the video? That's what I want to know. Because
maybe,
it must be
maybe
a
it was
friend
Phil
of...
Bardsley's wife.
Yeah, it must be a friend or relative of Wayne Rooney or Phil Bardsley. So,
do you reckon they posted it on the internet straight away so Rooney didn't have a chance to wake up and stop it? It had gone viral within minutes.
Well, no, apparently it happened months ago, didn't it? So I'm just wondering what person decided that would be a good idea to...
Somebody who needed some money.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, from the Sun, all places.
It was on
the front page of the Sun. That shows how shit a paper the Sun is.
It's like the BBC carrying Clarkson's punching as their main headline when there's a load of other world news going on. But
yeah, fine. It's like page 4, attacks in another country. Page 1, Clarkson punches a producer.
Exactly. Yeah. But the BBC were guilty of doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So there we go.
So I'm not going to pay a licence fee, so that's fine. Until the one show I watch on BBC comes back, I don't feel like I should pay a licence fee.
It won't come back.
That'll be it.
Oh,
well.
Go on.
No, I was going to say something, but I've forgotten what I was
talking about. Talking of Man United, last week they were knocked out of the FA Cup. And
were they?
Yeah. They lost at home.
Did they?
Yeah. And after that game, you know how we've talked about deaths after football matches?
Yes.
Previously, well, it happened again. Some guy in, I think it was Kenya, decided that he couldn't take the loss.
He could have just waited until Sunday and watched them smash Tottenham. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. I've seen us lose 8-2 to Man United and I did not commit any suicide. Not even a little bit of suicide.
Not even a tad bit. I mean, what made me laugh, right? I found out about this story on Twitter and it was posted by Funny Football Stories. So one of the first responses was, this really isn't funny. No, you don't say. But yeah, he jumped into the Indian Ocean off the Khalifi Bridge. Yeah. And that was it. Game over.
Don't do that.
Yeah, we don't condone suicide post football matches.
We don't condone suicide. I just want to point out, we don't condone suicide. Just full stop. Just post-match, pre-match, during match. Doesn't matter.
On the train lines, on my commute home, definitely don't condone that either.
Isn't that the most selfish thing in the world? Honestly, that is the most selfish thing in the world. If that happens tomorrow, while I've got an interview in London, I'd say I'd kill you, but obviously I won't. But I'll be annoyed. So no Bradford fans around London. Around commuter time tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Public service announcement done.
Public service announcement. So Everton won at home. Fuck me.
In a game literally no one cares about, Everton beat Newcastle in a result that I'm looking at it and I still can't tell you what it is because it just reads grey.
Well, Everton won 3-0. I mean, they only win in Europe, don't they? They've been pretty poor in the league this season.
I know you're acting surprised. Well, you probably are surprised, but this is Newcastle at the back end of a football season.
Yeah, they've given up.
Yeah, you know Newcastle only play until February.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably need another 3 or 4 points, though, to make sure they're safe.
I did hear that Coloccini got sent off, which happens at this time every single year.
Do you think he has a break? So he goes back home for like a week or something.
I think so. He gets like a ban and then he comes back and then he'll play a game and then he'll do it again and he gets another ban. That man works less than I do.
It's like the old Nolan Christmas break for
West
Ham.
Yeah. for those who don't know, Kevin Nolan normally got sent off around about the 23rd of December every year.
Good lad. Good lad.
I don't know if it's on YouTube, but if you can find some of them, they are some of the greatest and most obvious sending offs you're ever likely to see. Like 89th minute, kicking someone in the face to get a straight red. There's some great sending off. Yeah. I think when he was taken off, instead of putting on the club jacket, he just put on a Christmas jumper.
the other game yesterday was Chelsea Southampton.
Yes, and I watched this and I thought Chelsea were actually rubbish. They played better in the second half, but all round pretty rubbish.
Do you think they've got complacency?
They have definitely won the league.
Yeah.
They actually don't need to win. Well, obviously they need to win. Maths would say they need to win, but they look like a team who's just going to grind the league out now. They've got nothing else to play for, so they're just going to grind it out. They're going to play Mourinho-style football.
They've got the champions... Oh, hold on. No, they haven't.
They got Zlatan sent off, so they deserve to get knocked out.
Babies.
That was ridiculous. How many players need to surround the referee?
I don't know. John Terry standing on what's his name's head though in the melee was quite good. Cahill's.
I like the way they all surrounded the referee, and then he got sent off, and then they went and checked to see if Oscar was all right.
Thing was, Oscar should have gone. You know, Zlatan. I know we jumped about, but Scott's not here, so what the fuck. But Oscar should have got sent off for that. He went in, studs up, and you could clearly see Zlatan pull out. So, that just sounds wrong.
Yeah, not nice. It's left a sort of vinegary taste in my mouth. That's not nice either. I mean, it was probably a yellow card for each. I would have been
at best,
happy with,
yeah.
But... you know, they're out, so bollocks, they've gone out the same round as us. If you're listening to the show on Wednesday.
Oh dear, but Zlatan's in a bit of trouble in France anyway, isn't he?
No!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, he had a foul-mouthed outburst following their defeat by Bordeaux.
Didn't he say something like, that's the shittest refereeing performance I've ever seen, or something along those lines?
I don't know. I'd have to Google Translate whatever he said, but he said he was speaking in anger. But still, it's Zlatan.
Yeah. When Zlatan speaks in anger, that's the sign for, you know, he's definitely done something wrong. I've read his book, and the whole start of it is just him nicking bikes.
Mm.
It's a fantastic read. If I can recommend a book to anyone, it's Zlatan's book.
Zlatan.
The only way it could be made better if it was audiobook read out by Zlatan. Because he does refer to himself in the third person.
Brilliant.
Oh, it's fantastic. Zlatan did this, then Zlatan did that, then Zlatan did this. Zlatan was feeling like this day. It is brilliant.
And Zlatan says, let's move on to the next game.
Well... unfortunately, Zlatan, that was Sunday, so we're going to take a break now and play music that Scott would not... Well, it's got to be West Brom Stoke. You can't come back from a break and not go straight to the big game of Saturday. West Brom Stoke.
I think it was this game really pissed me off. You know, West Brom scored a second goal, didn't they? Disallowed?
Yeah, Brown a day.
But I know he was offside. But if you watch the clip again, right, the lino keeps his flag by his side, runs down, they score, then he walks back and then puts his flag up. What the fuck is that all about?
It's that whole interfering with play, then not interfering with play, that the offside rule just doesn't... When I were a lad, and when you were a lad, which is a long, long time ago, when the offside rule was first brought in, it was, is the player between the goalkeeper and the last defender... Yes, he's offside. Now it's, yes, he is, but was he interfering with play? Did he mean to be there? What was he thinking? I actually think it was fine because he wasn't interfering with play. And then it hit the goalkeeper. Goalkeeper spills it. And he knocks it in the back of the net.
Yep.
Now, obviously, he's given him offside because he thinks that his pressure has made the goalkeeper spill the ball. But he never touches the goalkeeper. He's a good 2 foot away from the goalkeeper when he drops it. So it's a goalkeeping mistake, is what I'm saying. So like Valencia's mistake of knocking the ball back to the goalkeeper and it going short, Welbeck scoring. That was given. Brown a day's goal should have been given.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if it's a defender. Say Welbeck was offside for that, but obviously it is the defender, so you're not offside.
Yeah.
Okay. When Welbeck scored the goal that knocked Man United out of the cup, that was the defender's mistake. But when it's a goalkeeper, it's always sort of forgiven, isn't it, when it's a goalkeeper?
Yeah, they get it too easy. Too easy.
Because, I mean, if you look at it, obviously the player plays it through, but then the last touch before... the striker gets it, is a goalkeeper touching the ball. So it shouldn't be offside.
No, agreed.
But he's given it because it's pressure on the goalkeeper. And obviously, I don't want to see players just like, you know, like John Terry just putting his head down and running into the goalkeeper and then no foul given and the ball tapped in the back of the net. But, I mean, that was a genuine mistake by a goalkeeper and it should have been punished. Not that it matters, West Brom won the game, but...
Not that it matters, yeah. Not that it matters. Stoke were pretty crap in the highlights. Pretty crap.
This is the longest we've ever talked about West Brom or Stoke.
We try not to talk about either of these two sides. One was a Tony Pulis side that we hated.
Yep.
And now the other side...
Hold on, two out of three of us hated them.
Yeah, I know, but that's a university thing. Doesn't count. You're just far too emotional for your own good.
Good point.
It's I still like my can't little brother going to watch Plymouth. It's just wrong.
I still can't watch 90 minutes of Stoke playing without wanting a Zambuca.
Still, at least you had Stoke. My little brother's got Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah, but when I first went to uni, they were in the Championship, which is sort of the... doldrums. If you're American, the Championship is basically
college basketball.
Yeah, where everyone thinks that it's really competitive and it's really good, and actually it just means that every team's as shit as each other. Yeah.
It just means it's shown on ESPN and not Sky. Yeah,
because the champions of it last season are 20th in the Premier League on 19 points. So yeah, rubbish. What should we talk about next? Oh,
Let's not talk about the team that's on bottom because that was just dreadful.
Yeah. It was 0-0, the football equivalent of Beige. Crystal Palace 3, QPR 1.
Yeah, I saw most of this game. I saw the Zaha goal and the second goal.
I saw the Zaha goal.
Nearly chopped himself in half.
I've done that on a full pitch. I've collided with the post.
There's not a lot of you, though, compared to Zaha.
Yeah, but I didn't even hit it as hard as he did. And I had to go off. Because it was against... this is where Scott's ears are going to perk up. It was against a Dutch touring side. And the player chipped our keeper and it was going in. And I run back and I hooked it off the line and then hit the post. And it like where I hit it, it sort of like spun me around the post, if you can imagine that. So I was sliding it with my left foot and then my left foot's hit the post. Or nice. Like the back of my knees hit the post and it sort of spun me around into the net. And it was the most painful thing that's not resulted in something breaking I've ever felt in my entire life. So God knows how Zaha managed to play on.
Yeah, that was... He hobbled around for a good 10 minutes after that.
I like how he kept signalling to the bench, like, I'm all right!
Oh, yeah.
I'm all right! I'm all right!
But at the end of this game, for as shit as QPR were, there could have been goal of the season scored.
Where did that come from?
Was amazing. And then the free kick not long after that, where Speroni saved it. He fucking walloped that and all.
I don't know where that came from. I was watching the highlights and I just wasn't expecting it at all.
It's like he didn't play for 80 minutes and then bang. It's just an unbelievable goal.
But when it went in, there was almost like a good 10 to 12 seconds before the crowd went, fucking hell, the ball's gone in the back of the net. Was it 40 yards?
40 yards, yeah. 40 yards. Brilliant goal. Brilliant.
From a player that I can openly acknowledge that I didn't know existed until that went in.
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody did. Well, I mean, QPR, dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. They deserve to go down.
QPR are dreadful, but it could be worse. You could lose 4-0 at home to Villa.
Villa were unbelievable in that first half. I know Sunderland are pretty woeful anyway, and unlucky Mr. Poirier, but enjoy your P45.
Mark, can you turn that vibrator off?
It's the washing machine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, right.
Yeah, but when Gabby Agbonlahor scores two goals against you, you know it's not, you know, it's not a result you're going to be proud of. But Villa looked threatening. I can't believe.
Quick, powerful. They've just not played like that at all this season.
I genuinely think that they're going to be in the FA Cup final. I've just got this feeling that Liverpool won't be able to beat them.
It'll be an interesting semi. To be honest, I'd rather play Villa.
You're assuming, mate. I'm calling a Reading versus Villa final.
Nice. Good luck with that.
in the biggest letdown to BBC scheduling since the card. No, what was the? What's the really shit final a couple of years ago? Wigan, I want to say. It was the League Cup final, wasn't it? Swansea Bradford,
that was League Cup, yeah.
Yeah, because it wasn't the semi final like Chelsea, Swansea, and Bradford, Arsenal.
Yes. No, they knocked us out before then, didn't they?
It looked something amazing, and it turned into Swansea versus Bradford.
Oh dear, but yeah, I mean, is this the corner for Villa?
I think they're already safe.
I'm not sure what their running is, but
I cannot see Sunderland being able to turn it round, even with new manager bounce. They're just terrible. They backed off Villa, and then when they got the ball, they passed it sideways until Villa got it back.
I know, and that's what Villa were doing about just before Lambert got the sack.
Yeah. Well, that one man holding a piece of paper up with Poyet out has done his job, hasn't he?
But Villa's running, right? They've got Man United away, Tottenham away, QPR at home, Man City away, Everton at home, West Ham at home, Southampton away, Burnley at home. So they've got a few tough games. They've got a bit of a mix in there. They they've got a fighting chance.
Burnley at home, the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, colour me interested.
Let's hope that's on Sky. Maybe.
Everyone. Even Sunderland fans want Burnley to stay up. It's like having a pub team in the Premier League.
Well, I mean, I think Sunderland have probably made the right decision by sacking Poirier today. What was it, 1-12?
He seems to be like one of those managers that's only good for a small period of time.
Yeah.
Like Sherwood eventually will fizzle out at Villa. They're good for like 6 months. They'll give you that sort of bounce.
Give you the energy and then...
Because he kept them up, didn't he?
Yeah.
They're one of those teams that it's about time they actually went down, though, because they've done like a Wigan where they've been flirting with relegation every year. They need to sod off, basically. I really don't like Sunderland. I've got an irrational hatred of Sunderland.
Can't be helped. Sunderland have got issues.
Sunderland's never done anything to me. I've never been to anywhere near Sunderland. I've got an irrational hatred of them.
Is it because like they're fake Geordies? If you've got more of a love for the Geordie than you have the Mackems.
I don't even like Newcastle. I don't like anything above
Milton Keynes.
Don't even like Milton Keynes, if I'm honest. It's a bit northern for me.
All right, let's finish off up north. Oh no, let's not finish up north. A couple of games to go.
Just about to say, but you missed out our game, which is normally a part in itself.
Burnley 1, Man City 0.
Just let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to say that again?
Burnley 1, Man City 0.
And what a goal it was.
What a goal. I thought it took a deflection at first, but it wasn't. It was a clean strike straight through. Lovely finish.
He just absolutely rinsed it, didn't he? And he had one that was just before that, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, they had a warning, didn't they, Man City, and then still didn't pick him up. But yeah, what is going on at City?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just enjoying every single second of it.
I don't know if you saw a bit of Monday Night Football before you come online, but Gary Neville was... saying they did it before under Mancini, they won the title and then they kind of went to sleep following season. They just can't follow it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they've got players like Silva and Aguero who are like amazing players or anything along those lines.
Yeah, need to cough Yaya Toure. He just doesn't seem interested. Still, at least Sanya's had a good move.
They seem to me like a team that's not really, obviously, that interested.
Mm.
As long as they win it sort of every other year or whatever, they're not looking like a team that wants to set records or.
That's like they put themselves out for a season, win something, and then go.
Yeah.
Oh, I can have a break now, you know. I'm getting paid 150 grand a week. I'll just relax and then I'll give it another go next year.
But I don't understand the formations they play either, because they started with Silva.
Started with Silva.
Yeah, like David Silva was on the left.
Yeah.
But they were basically playing 4-4-2. But David Silva... the best number 10 probably in the, but can you play Aguero, who plays deep, and Silva and Dzeko as well? Because
yeah, it just doesn't work, does it?
No, it just seems like a lot of people are in the same spot, because obviously Dzeko's big. You think Dzeko would win more aerial battles. He doesn't really win. I'm not actually sure what Dzeko does.
Because I used to like Dzeko. I used to see a bit when he played in the Bundesliga, and he looked a really useful striker. And then you move him over here, and I don't know. He's just not. Doesn't cut it for me. He's not good enough.
He's a good finisher, but I just don't know what else he offers. Because he's a big lad, so you'd expect him to be obviously not as dirty bastard as Marouane Fellaini, but causing havoc in the box.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that.
No.
He doesn't run off people. He doesn't really hold the ball up a lot. I'm not very convinced with what he does.
Well,
if anyone knows what he does, if someone can send me a tweet, that'd be really nice.
Tweet at the guru 1988 and let him know what Jekka does.
But I mean, in a team where they've just bought Bonnie as well.
Yeah, I still don't rate Bonnie, but there we go. There we go. And because Neville wouldn't, that we're talking before the game tonight about Swansea for tonight, and they said, well, Swansea have sold their best player in Bonnie. Oh, I don't think they have. I think Sigurdsson's their best player, but there we go.
Yeah, I think Sigurdsson's their best player, but yeah. Bonnie would play. I think Bonnie, if played with Aguero and Silva enough, would play really well, because what they used to do was play it up to him and then he'd lay it off to Sigurdsson.
Yeah.
And then Sigurdsson would try and find him again. So if they could do that and have Aguero and Silva laying it off to him, I think they'd be all right. But then, I mean, what brave manager is going to turn around to Aguero and go, can you play second fiddle to Wilfried Bonny? They're just not going to do it, are they?
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. But yeah,
we're gonna build our team around Wilfried Bonny. It's just not going to happen.
I still think that was a strange purchase, but there we go. Especially mind for you, 25 mind mil. You,
saying that, I still think they're going to finish second.
We shall see. Because Arsenal just keep winning.
We do, but we always beat West Ham.
Not always as convincingly as Saturday.
Oh, come on, it's something like 28 points out of the last 29 or something stupid. But when you let Flamini score against you,
something's wrong.
Something is definitely wrong.
Something's wrong.
But yeah, we did look good.
Ramsey looked back to last season form.
We looked Arsenal-y.
Yeah.
That's a word. Which
I mean,
is
Walcott
not...
should have had two or three, but...
Yeah, what's up with him?
He's not really played lately. I can put him down to being a little bit rusty, but...
No, but he was rusty when he came back from injury, but he must be training. Whether he plays for the reserves or the Falcao under-21s or something like that. He must be able to be getting game time. I mean, there was one early up where he's put through and he was taken down by...
Is it Collins or O'Brien?
Collins, I think it was. But Walcott, when he's, you know, last season, that he would have hit that first time. Or
yeah.
Taken out.
Too put, many just, touches.
Yeah, just put it in.
That was
it's
that
almost
nice
like
little hill, wasn't it, from Giroud?
Yeah. Yeah. He gets a lot of stick, Giroud.
I think he's played, well, I mean, he was crap against Monaco, and then he's been awesome since then.
I think he gets stick when we play bad. When we all play badly, I say we. I've not had one game yet. But when Arsenal play badly, it's the first person that's blamed. Well, after Ozil is Giroud.
Yeah.
I mean, we were absolutely dog shit against Monaco.
Yeah, completely.
But it was, if you'd have read the news stories, and it was completely doubt. We lost 3-0 because of Ozil and Giroud.
Yeah. Didn't Ozil just get our player of the month last?
Recently? I don't know what he was doing with that pass when he could have had a shot.
Yeah, that was a bit.
But yeah, he's pretty good at football.
He is pretty good at football. Definitely.
So I'd rather have him in the team and him be criticised and then him putting the performances he's doing than not have him in the team.
Yeah, I'd stick with Ozil. I like Ozil.
But it's the same old thing with Arsenal, though, isn't it? We had a shit start to the season, but we either have a shit start to the season and do really well at the end of the season, or have a storming start to the season, be top of the league by now, and then just lose it. We just need a bit of consistency and players to not get stupid hamstring injuries.
We are, yeah. I mean, who's out at the moment? The Ox is out. Gabriel
is out, but he may be back.
Ooh. Okay, so he's not a true Arsenal player then, being out 6 months.
No, he's not quite got around to learning this stuff.
But then he does look hard as fucking nails, doesn't he? He does look hard as nails. I quite like the look of him.
He's the exact mix of Martin Keown and Alexis Sanchez. looks wise.
Yeah. This strange love child.
You won't be able to look him in the face.
No,
you won't be able to see a picture of him without seeing that now.
Oh well. Let's
I think we might have been able to do a whole show without really detouring off of football that much.
I know. We might do some news. Let's have a quick break and then do some news.
Let's do some news. Counting me down. Yeah, professional. It's reading Facebook. Apparently we're gonna do the news. I banned Mark from starting with a racism story because we always start with racism. Some racism happened in football. That's the sum up of that bit. So we're gonna start with
third party ownership called a type of slavery by Michael Platini.
Michael Platini, is that what we're going with?
Yeah. I call him Michelle.
Yeah.
He's a Michael and he knows it.
The first thing I think of slavery is massive contracts, being able to live in multi-million pound houses and play football on the weekend. That's the first thing I think of when I think of the word slavery.
Yeah. See, he said, today it is shameful to see some players with one of their arms belonging to one person, a leg belonging to a pension fund located who knows where, and a third person owning his foot. So it's about time that the world of football wakes up and that the money coming into football remains in football and doesn't disappear right or left or I don't know where.
Or in account. Qatar.
Oh dear. So yeah, third party ownership of players, right or wrong?
Genuinely don't give a shit, if I'm honest. If AT&T wants to own my left nipple, I'm not that bothered. You know what I mean? It's as long as the player is playing for your club. The only thing I think is wrong about it is it leaves you open to bribery. I've got logic to this. Obviously, if the company that's sponsoring your, right testicle, wants you to, it puts a lot of pressure on you to mess up, then it's harder to track. Whereas if Michel Platini asked you to do it or something along those lines, or, asked you to back a World Cup bid in Qatar, that's really easy to track.
Oh, dear. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's when it starts getting messy with your club. If you've got a player that's third-party owned and then the third party ownership wants them to play somewhere else and starts banging in that player's ear, then maybe that is wrong.
You can't be third party owned in England anyway, can you? You're not allowed.
No.
It's against the rules of the Premier League and the leagues, so never going to happen over here.
Nope.
Decent. Let's talk about Real Madrid.
It's all going on at Real Madrid. One day Gareth Bale's shit and getting slagged off in the press. The next day he scores two goals.
Yeah, one day Ancelotti's the best manager in the world for winning the Champions League and restoring honour to Real Madrid, and everyone loves him, and then apparently he's going to leave at the end of the season.
They lose at home to Schalke, but still go through to the next round, but that was enough to get the old white hankies out at the end of the game.
Yeah, if you get the sniffles at Real Madrid, you're sorted.
So what, is it this weekend El Clasico? What happens if they beat Barcelona and go top?
All is forgotten. I don't know. They probably won't. But one question I want to ask you on this is, do Real Madrid fans bring hankies in the expectation that they're going to wave them, or are hankies given out when they're playing badly?
It looks that way. It certainly looks that way. I mean, it's like, oh, I don't know. It certainly looked like that. They were all prepared to, like, they were going to get knocked out by Schalke, which they nearly did.
They nearly did. That was a, I was not ready for that game. I thought I'd watch that and just, you know, relax, watch a bit of football, and shit got real.
Was the little German boy inside of you crying with joy?
I've got a passionate love for Klaus-Jan Huntelaar.
Yeah, great player.
Most underrated striker.
Yeah. Of a generation. We've been linked with him loads of times. We were.
The amount of players Arsenal nearly signed. Mm. Just ridiculous. But yeah, he's such a good goal scorer.
Yeah. I do like the old Monkey Boys picture of him after he scored. His goal celebration was Hear No Evil. Yes, nice one, Gareth. It's either that or his ears were hurting after yet another pin back up. I can't quite work it out.
I did love the Ronaldo strop.
That was after the Schalke game, wasn't it?
No, I think when Bale scored this weekend against...
Oh, he had another strop. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think it was Levante. Was it Levante? Mm. I think it was against Levante, the strop. But basically, Bale puts the ball in the back of the net and Ronaldo has a strop. Because it is all about Ronaldo. Ooh. Oh! Ronaldo story. I meant to bring this up, but we haven't done a show in about 6 months. Ronaldo, a couple of weeks ago, had a statue of himself unveiled in Portugal.
In the Ronaldo Museum?
I don't know if it was Ronaldo Museum. But anyway, it was a waxwork Madame Tussauds-like figure. And Ronaldo sends his hairdresser to the waxwork figure. So if he changes his hairstyle, the hairdresser can keep it up on the waxwork figure.
Have you seen the statue?
I have. It has exactly the same hair as Cristiano Ronaldo.
It was in his town. It was in his hometown that he had it erected. And it looks fairly erected.
Oh, no, you're thinking of the statue, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, honestly, if you Google, I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo waxwork figure, He's had like a Madame Tussauds one. It might not have been just unveiled a month ago. It's been like a year or whatever. And he genuinely sends his hairdresser there to do the hair on it.
That's just crazy.
How much do you have to love yourself to send your hairdresser to cut the hair of a waxwork doll, which, by the way, its hair doesn't grow?
Does he just have it changed when he... Well, no, he pretty much has the same hairstyle, doesn't he?
Yeah, but if, say, he puts, like, a tram line in it...
Yeah.
He gets his hairdresser to put a tram line into the waxwork figure.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Dude has issues.
Yeah. Which is why Messi's better than him.
He doesn't have so many issues, unless they're tax-related.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Maybe.
Well saved.
So anyway, let's finish off on Falcao. Let's talk Falcao. Because he's been playing under-21s football for Man United. Because he can't
Not
be
it.
in the first team.
Hasn't even played the full game of under-21s.
No. I mean, it looks like his deal, his Man United loan move, will be coming to an end at the end of the season. But he's already been linked with Chelsea and Spurs.
Are we fitting perfectly at Spurs the way he's playing at the moment?
He would. He would.
He makes Soldado look a worldie.
I mean, I know we're going back a bit, but they were clutching at straws yesterday because they brought Adebayor on. But...
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know you've lost a game when you have to bring on Adebayor.
Yeah, Falcao. What's happened to Falcao? He's not been the same player since he went to Monaco, really, has he? I know he fucked his knees up, but...
I think that's it, to be fair. I think he's just fucked his knees up. He's not very mobile.
No. Not very mobile at all. Not the same player.
That can only be because of the knees, but I mean, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
Because for $350,000 a week, and was it $20 million down for the loan?
Yeah.
That is just, if there's been a worse deal ever, I want to know about it. Because I genuinely can't think of a worse deal than that.
It definitely is the worst deal in football. Alright, I've got one story to finish off on. Ex-Arsenal striker Nicholas Bentner is now officially Lord Bentner after somebody bought him land.
Well, it's about fucking time. And also, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah. Bentner, who now plays for German club Wolfsburg, has been affectionately branded as Lord on Twitter by those who follow his antics. The Dane has been gifted 1 square foot of land in Glencoe Wood, part of a nature reserve, by Danish magazine SE Og Or. Lord Bentner is delighted with his title, according to Elisa Leek, his agent. She said, we have seen it, and Nicholas thinks it's a fun gimmick.
Of course he does. Because he rates himself as one of the best players in the world.
Lord Bentner. Brilliant. Congratulations on your 1 square foot of the Scottish Highlands.
And you know he's going to try and build a house on it.
He could probably build a little football boot cabinet or something there. Just leave a pair of boots in it.
Do you reckon it's the square foot next to Lord Vader's?
Oh dear. So, on that Scottish bombshell.
Say, eat my goal! Eat my goal! Say ho! Ho! Say ho! Whoa!
Ho! Whoa!
Eat my goal!
Eat my goal!
Say, eat my goal!